Baba mi lo je Olorun agba oye Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Hallelujah Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Baba mi lo je Olorun agba lagba Baba mi lo je Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Hallelujah Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o Baba mi lo je Olorun agbalagba Baba mi lo je Olorun agba oye Emi ko le se kemi mo ni Oluwa o
Hallelujah
Emi my Oluwa o
Hallelujah
Emi ko le se kemi my Oluwa o
Hallelujah
Emi ko le se kemi my Oluwa o
Hallelujah
You are God from beginning
to the end There's no place for argument You are God all by yourself.
You are God.
You are God from beginning to the end. There's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
You've got time
and seasons. You fought for life out of darkness. You don't need a man to be the God you are. You have chosen to call me your own. From beginning to the end, there's no place for argument. You are God all by yourself.
I love that man,
oh Galilee, for he has done so very much for me. Forgiven me of my sins and send the Holy Ghost to me. I love your faith, oh Galilee. I love the smile of Galilee.
Father, indeed we love you and thank you because you first loved us. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you because we will not live the same way. Thank you because there's increase in our midst, knowledge, wisdom in all dimensions, and we experience your love more than ever before. We give you all your praise, all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. Good morning, church. God is always faithful. I know you know, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So over and over again, you need to understand that. Hallelujah. And I don't have anything to say to you. It's God that has something to let you understand. If it were for me, what can I do? But God is, the way God orchestrates things, I will always say it, it always amazes me. And that's because of the love that he has towards all us all. Okay? So he plans everything ahead, and then he makes everything fall in place. Hallelujah. So sometimes, at times when I think that what he's asking me to say, it looks like, why are you bothering these people with the same thing? And then he moves in, and I see that, oh, he has a reason for saying so. Amen. And that's why I love it every time we have Bible school. Hallelujah. Bible school is, to me, he always points me and says, that's what I'm telling you. Amen. This morning, we'll look at what God has done and what you get. Hallelujah. What he has done and what we get. Amen. What he has done and what you as a person get from what he has done. And let's open our Bibles. First story that I'll read is in Matthew chapter 9. I read verses 27. I read the NKJV, so for you that will display. Matthew 9. I read from verse 27. So he talks about, in my Bible it says, two blind men healed. That's the subtitle. And then it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Then they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. Amen. According to your faith, let it be to you. In the story of the centurion, in Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5, and I read, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Amen. The third one, the woman of the issue of blood. Now a certain woman, Mark chapter 5, from verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Mark 5, from verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Amen. Hallelujah. Said, who touched my clothes? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, I'll read all the scriptures now before I start telling my moonlight stories. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, I read the Amplified Classic. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. The Amplified Classic says, and I read again, look at the proud. Let his soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. In the New King James Version, it says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sure we all know that God is not creating anything new anymore. And he never created anything after he rested on the seventh day. Am I right? Okay, you're a faucet man. Not for me? Okay, no problem. Let me talk to you. So, I mean, God is not creating anything anymore. That's the truth of the matter. So there's no earth version 1, earth version 2, earth version 3. Okay. He has created all he will create, and he had made all the abundance that he would. And when he put man in the Garden of Eden, when he put Adam and Eve there, they had everything at their disposal. And even when they were moved out of the garden, they did not lack anything. Amen. So he's not caught unawares. Okay. He's not being caught unawares on a daily basis. That suddenly we want need something and then he has to create it. He's not caught unawares. Everything that he would ever need, he had created from the beginning. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Amen. So all things are ready. That's what I'm saying. All things that we need are ready. Amen. Whether you know it or you believe it or not, all things are ready. When you sit down and you begin to imagine things, okay, and you said, I need this, I need that, you suddenly find somebody come to you and make it available. It's because God had made everything available. It is left for you to understand what he has made available and how to get what he has made available. Amen. Those three stories I read, okay, all of them knew one thing that was certain, that if they get to him, he's able to do what they want him to do, that what they want him to do. Okay, the two blind men kept following him, and then he asked them, do you think I can do this? And he said, yes. And then he said to them that your faith is about your faith. The centurion, he said, he had not seen this kind of faith in the whole of Israel. And then, of course, the woman of the issue of blood, she tapped in, and he knew that virtue had left him. Hallelujah. So at the point that each one of them was making a demand on him, he was not just getting ready for them. It is something that is in store for them, and all that needed to happen was for somebody to reach out and get what has been available for him. Amen. Hallelujah. The grace of God abounds. In Titus chapter 2, and I think this speaks to the question that Reuben asked as well this morning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus 2:11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. Amen. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. But the question is, are all men saved? Amen. That grace has made everything available. Okay? Amen. It says he has brought salvation to, it has appeared to all men. But not all men is saved. Why? Because of the choices that we make. Because of the choices we make. It says the grace, okay, that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So that grace is available, okay, for all mankind. So if you will number everyone, that grace that brings salvation is available. But it's for you to decide on your own to reach out to that grace. Hallelujah. Irrespective of who reaches out to that and taps into what the grace is making available, he will get what the grace has brought to you. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17. I will read the classic and then I'll read the NKJV. So it says here that in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. In the NKJV, it says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying this morning is that grace, of course, we know it's unmerited favor. Okay, everything that is unmerited, okay? But everything abounds in grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So all things are available in grace. The grace of God brings all things. Hallelujah. Amen. And it makes everything available. Now, the Bible is saying that the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. And if you read Hebrews chapter 1, it will tell you about the definition of faith. But I also want you to know this morning that faith is your positive response to the things that grace had made provision for. Amen. Hallelujah. Is your response to God's grace. That's what faith is. So those three stories we read, okay, they had nothing to do with what Jesus was going to do at that point in time. It had a lot to do with the positive response that those three people were expecting from him. Okay? So are you getting me? So grace makes all of God's supply available. So, that's why you step into grace and you say, this is God's grace. Again, if something happens, I say, this is God's grace. But it is your faith that makes that. It is your faith, which is your positive response to God's grace, that makes it appear to you or makes it your own. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So without faith, you are not able to access the things that grace has in store for you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians, the second chapter, and from verse 8. Ephesians 2, from verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Amen. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says that you have been saved by grace through faith. So grace makes all the supply available. That's what I'm saying again. Okay? And because the supply is available, it takes your faith to access it. So that's why the Bible says here that for by grace you have been saved through faith. Your positive response to that which has been made available. So when the gospel is preached or you hear the good news, okay, that positive response is what brings salvation to you. The grace is already there. It already abounds. The finished work of faith is there. Hallelujah. Amen. But it takes you to respond positively to God's grace. Hallelujah. And I'm saying positively. Okay? In James chapter 1, he talks about, I think it's verse, the one that doubts. James 1, it should be verse 7, I think. Yeah. He says in verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor and blessing from the Lord. Okay? And it is important that you access that unmerited favor by a positive response. So when the word of God comes to you, that positive response gives you access to what he has made available. I'm saying that there's no, God is not going to do anything anymore than he has done. Hallelujah. Amen. So whether people believe that Jesus is the Son of God or not, he's not going to prove anything anymore for anybody. Hallelujah. Christ has come, he has died, and he has risen. Amen. And he sits at the right hand of God. And he has made all things available to us. Amen. By his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. But if we do not respond positively to that which has been made available, then you are not going to see any result. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why when the Bible was talking about God is no respecter of persons, okay? It's about the way you access what God has made available to you. So as long as I have a positive response to the provision made by grace, amen, I will get the same result as another person that has a positive response in the same circumstance. So he does not know whether you are young or small. Hallelujah. All he needs is your positive response to that availability that grace has made available. Amen. So in all the supply that God has for you and I, what he expects from us is the positive response to what he has made available. Hallelujah. Amen. So grace and faith. Okay? So grace, just like we're saying this morning about sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Amen. God does not, God does not cause things to happen. We make things happen. Because he had made all things available. And that's why he said, when he was talking to the Israelites, he was telling them, I've laid before you life and death, now choose. Okay, so it's your choice. He doesn't have to be Judas Iscariot that would have betrayed him. Amen. Somebody would have betrayed him, but it doesn't have to be that same person. Hallelujah. Because even he had the opportunity, because Christ said, you are hurry and do that which you want to do. He had the opportunity to really think. Okay? And the Bible also talks about that, the fact that there are many doors or many ways before a man, but only one is right. Amen. So we need to look at these things closely. Okay? Inasmuch as we know that God is almighty, the all-sufficient God. Amen. The things that we experience or that come to us, okay, are in response to our response to his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. So if I knock on the door, for instance, the people on the inside or on the outside, whichever way it is, okay, so if I'm on the outside and I knock on the door, okay, the people on the inside will open the door. All right. Okay. If I'm on the outside, I do not knock, and I expect that the people on the inside know that I'm out there, and then I'm of most men, the most what? In quotes. Because you need to have an action for you to get a reaction. So if you want the door to be opened, you need to get the attention of the people on the inside for them to open the door. Okay? If you would get their response, if you tell me that you don't have to knock, you can use your phone to call them, but you must get their attention in one way or the other. Letting them know that you're on the outside, and then they open the door. Amen. Now, whatever you do on the inside, once you open the door, you have access to that house. Once you open the door, Abby, once you open the door, you have access. Except they lock another door, and they lock another door. But for every place that is made available in that house, you have that free access. Okay. Yeah, but it's not everybody that takes advantage, and not everybody should take advantage of that access. But in God, okay, that access that you have, you are supposed to take advantage of it. Because you want healing, you want provision, okay? You have to have a positive response to the grace of God. He said, all things are done. He said, by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. We are no longer going to be healed. He says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we will access that healing that he has done for us, is that we have a positive response to that part of the scripture. And we have a positive response to the works of Christ that he did on our behalf. Amen. Acts chapter 10. I said this earlier. He talks about the fact that Peter opened his mouth. Acts 10 and 34. I said, most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. So God does not look at your cadre or the strata in the society for him to attend to you. Amen. God looks at your heart and your response, your positive response to the grace that he has made available to you and I. That's what God looks at, and that's what God needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Sorry, from verse 1. Sorry. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Amen. So that your other access to grace of God is faith, the positive response. And we need to understand that divide between grace and then between faith and faith. Amen. Hallelujah. They both look like they're in the same spectrum, but they are different ends of the spectrum. Amen. The grace has made everything available, but you cannot access what he has made available except by faith. Amen. And that's why I took time to read those three stories. I read the centurion story because Christ said, I've not seen such great faith in the whole of Israel. Why? Because it was just a simple positive response to what the centurion understands that Christ can do or Christ will do. Amen. And now that's for those in that generation. And now for us, we have seen what Christ can do, and we are the ones that have the better covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. We enjoy it. Hallelujah. So no longer should we be caught in between the fact that we are saying that, see, God said he will heal me. Why am I not healed? If you will access what grace has provided, then you need to work on your faith. I've read James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, that talks about the fact that if you doubt or you waver, you're not going to receive anything. Hallelujah. But response to God's word has to be positive. Hallelujah. And it has to be consistent. Amen. Don't go worry that I'm repeating it, because it is important for you to know. It has to be positive and it has to be consistent. Amen. Testimonies abound. I've listened to people's testimonies about healing. And I listened to one of a girl that was condemned to death by the doctors, and by the time the doctor said, I think the doctor said she had 6 days to go, and then she came across this particular verse, okay, Romans 1 verses 1 to 2, that you have access to what grace has provided by faith, and she constantly was reading it. And you know what her parents said while she was going through what she was going through? She couldn't walk, she was just on the bed, she had a spasm. What her parents said was, what gave them courage was that each time they went into her room, the girl was always smiling and had something to point out to them that, isn't this beautiful? This is God's handiwork. You know, she would look out of her window and see a flower growing, and she could see God in that flower growing. And on a daily basis, she was consistent with it. Okay? She said, God, yes, And the guy said, you know, God said that this is a progressive thing and you need to stay with me as I go along the line. Now, it was difficult. But in that difficulty, she never revealed that difficulty to her parents. And then when the man of God came to pray for her, you know, and then she said, you have pain. She said, I feel pain. And she was in pain 24/7 all the days. I can't remember how long it was, but she was in pain. And when the man of God came to pray for her, you know what she told me? The man of God said, do you feel pain? She said, I feel pain all over. He said, so when the pain stops, will you be able to tell me? He said, I don't even know what it is not to feel pain. It's just like the woman with the issue of blood. He said, I don't even know what it is not to feel pain. And then the man said, when I pray for you, okay, just believe. And then they had a prayer. And then the spasm stopped. And then her limbs that were bent and curved in, which were pointers to the doctors that her body was giving up, straightened out right before everyone, even her parents. Why? Because she knew God, what God was talking to her in her closet, and she could relate with it and stay in that place of pulling a positive response for what grace had made available. We read Titus chapter 2, verse 11, not because of anything, but the fact that, you know what, grace is available to everybody. But not everybody will experience what grace has made available. The ones that will experience what grace has made available is the one that will access grace through faith. Hallelujah. Amen. When Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, okay, he had faith in God. Okay? He had faith that God will provide. Hallelujah. But then he kept on with the instruction that he had been given. Even when it looked like, this is the last minute, I'm going to have to cut this boy's neck, he kept on doing what he was supposed to do. Hallelujah. That positive response is what you need that will drive you through this year. Hallelujah. And it's what you need all the way. Amen. Positive response at every point in time. Even when it doesn't look like it. Amen. It, in quote, is because I don't know what you're expecting. But what you're expecting from him, even when the things around you doesn't look like it, you need to stay in that positive response because that's what's going to bring the result. Christ is not going to do anything more than he has done. Hallelujah. God is not going to do anything more than he has done. Amen. Our lives are in our hands. Hallelujah. And you're looking at me. That's the truth of the matter. Our lives are in our hands. The choices we make go a long way to determine what happens to us. Hallelujah. Amen. He watches over us quite all right. But you know, when you choose to move away from him, there is little that he can do. Nothing that he can do about it. Because you have drifted. And you are drifting not because he did not want you not to drift. You are drifting of your own choice. Amen. So if we will orchestrate things, the steps of the righteous man, they are ordered by the Lord. Abi, when you are drawing a positive response from him, how do I explain this? Okay, so when I was coming to Lagos, for instance, where I went to the set man and I said, I'm tired of this work I'm doing. And said, what do you want? And I said, I just want God to lead me to a place where he will prosper me. And in my wildest imagination, I would not have taken Lagos. If you wake me up and beat me and put me inside, I would not have taken that I would come to Lagos. And so that was all the prayer we prayed. And then God started leading me. And then in the space of 1 month or 2 months, I had 3 different offers that came from Lagos. In fact, the very day I had one interview, the man said, resume now. He said, resume now. I'll give you a place to stay, blah, blah, blah. And it looked like it was just it. Okay? Then I went back. And then another set of people called me and said, no, we have work for you, blah, 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 blah. And those ones were not even offering me anything. They told me to come for an interview. So I went for the interview and did everything. But what I'm saying is that it starts from the place of drawing, that means opening my mind to a positive response for the grace that God has made available. I did not choose Lagos. Okay? That's he ordered my steps to where he wants me to be, based on my choice to listen to him. Hallelujah. Amen. So when everything came and he came from Lagos, it was evident that Lagos is where you should be. And then it became, where will you stay in Lagos? And I'm like, I don't want to stay anywhere where I have trouble. I just want to stay in a place that when I'm going to work is against traffic. When I'm coming back is against traffic. And then in those good old days, the place I stayed, it was 50 naira to my place of work. and 50 naira back. Amen. Hallelujah. And the story has not changed now. Amen. So even in him making provision and new things, he's still staying with the initial agreement we had. Because each time I go back, I go back to the scriptures, I'm like, you said this is where you prosper me. And this is what I said. I don't want anywhere that will give me stress in my going and in my coming. Hallelujah. Amen. What we decide that we want, okay, is in God's provision. Hallelujah. How we access it is to stay in faith. That's what I'm saying this morning. And that's what you need to know. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2 settles it for you. That you access whatever grace has for you by faith. Hallelujah. And faith is not blow hot and blow cold. Faith is a consistent thing and a constant thing. Consistent in that you keep at it, okay, and you are forever in faith. So you are not out. So that's why you have to bring every thought into captivity of the word of God. You have to lay yourself up. You have to lay up in the word of God on inside you and make the word of God response to every situation that comes your way. Hallelujah. And you say, what's this man saying? I'm saying what the Lord will have me say. And I don't know what it is this morning. But if you connect this with what we spoke about in the morning at the Bible school, you see that there's no difference in both of them. Hallelujah. Amen. God's big plan is God's big plan. Amen. So we sing this song that he knows the end from the beginning. And I think somebody said that, and everything in between. But everything in between are based on our choices. Hallelujah. Amen. Are based on our choices. Are based on the things we decide to do and not to do. Amen. But the important thing is that you stay in the will of God and you stay in the place of faith to access that grace. God is no longer going to give you a garden of Eden other than the one he has created. He's not going to bring another salvation or another Christ other than this same Christ. Hallelujah. So if you are not satisfied with what this Christ is doing, then you have to make up your mind to go back and assess what he has made provision for in Christ and look at the scripture again. Hallelujah. Because there is no other way except this way. Amen. Hallelujah. There is no other way except this way that we have, and we have to stay true to it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so for the people that will come our way this year, you know that he that wins the soul is wise. Titus 2:11 says it all. Salvation is by grace is available to all men. But the people that will come our way this year, you need to point them to the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, my mom is from a Muslim background. I mean, she was a Muslim when I was growing up. And then my dad was a Christian. He was a lay reader. And so they had the agreement. Say, you can keep on praying the way you are praying, but take my children to church. Okay? So that was the instruction he gave her. And then we will go to church Christmas, Easter, and New Year. Amen. You are laughing. And we are going to church. That is, she didn't take us to go and pray the Muslim way. But yes, you pray, and then our 40th birthday was with the Muslim prayers and everything. I remember that. Hallelujah. Then one day she woke up and she was uncomfortable. Of course, when she takes us to church, she sits in the car, and then we go for the service, and then we come back, and then she drives us back home. And she was not anywhere against whatever the church was doing, because even the school she went to, okay. There were schools that, I think, Methodist Girls High School, Jebode, songs, what's that book? Songs of Praise. My mother can sing all the hymns there. You understand? Okay, but those are seeds that were sown in her. Okay, those were seeds. So even if we were singing, up to today, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. If we were singing those things, she would sing it from beginning to the end, even if it didn't mean anything to her. But there were seeds that were being sown. And then when Christ will come, when Christ will appear to her, it was in a simple dream. Hallelujah. Amen. And she saw him. She said, And then she was looking for, of course, that's how she grew up. She was looking for somebody that would interpret what she saw. But when she told us what she saw, it was very evident. She said she saw herself as a baby, like a Rex. And then she saw the cross as mighty. Do you know the Chapel of Recreation? You know that cross there? That's how she used to do it. Because we used to go to chapel then. That's how she used to cry. She said she saw that cross as big as that cross. And she saw herself as small as Rex. And she was crawling. And the light was glowing from the cross. And she saw Jesus on the cross. And said she did not understand. She did not understand. And then she found somebody, you know, she found people that would interpret dreams. And then she found someone that made an interpretation that made sense. And then she ended up attending that church. Amen. But what I'm saying is that she didn't need anybody to do any other thing to her or preach except that vision that Christ gave to her. Amen. It is your business to spread the gospel. But God does the increase and does the remaining final work. Amen. So you keep doing what you have to do. So I'm talking about I'm talking about 1988. That's when that happened. And I probably was in from 2 when that happened. That's now JSS 2. So I probably was about 13, 14 years old. You're laughing. I'm trying to say. So imagine that I was that old when she gave her life. When she saw that vision. Amen. What I'm saying is that over the years, so I got to know her in 14 years, Abby. That's when I'm 14. But over the years, she had different encounters all the way. I mean, the priest in the Methodist school were praying together, but it took that long, okay? But consistency and constant work in God always yields a result, and a positive one. So when we are working, as we are working through this year, don't be in a hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't be in a hurry that you want to see this happen. It will happen. Amen. It will happen. In February, we'll be doing... You see, when it comes to marriage issues, don't be in a hurry. Okay, all the people here now are married. They're not answering me now. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Stay with God in the place of faith. Okay, I'm not saying you don't have your desires. Okay, I'm not saying you don't. And by the way, in February, we'll have singles weekend. I think February 12 and 13 we'll have singles weekend. Okay, we'll have singles weekend, and it's everybody that will be there. No, because those married people will give you the experience. What I'm saying is that, you see, there's no hurry in this life. No matter how much you hurry, you need to wait for God. You know, when we're in school, you start dating, maybe from secondary school. If you went to the kind of secondary school I went to, you want to have a girlfriend in secondary school, maybe from 1, from 2. You will buy, it's true now, that's the kind of school I went to. Susie was laughing. You buy, from 1, you buy, from 2, you buy, from 3. I just stand and say, it's all a waste of time. Then when you get to university, you do different things. But if you sit down and have a chat with God and chat it and say, this is what I want, He's going to tell you what will happen. I remember when my sister first came home in year one of university, and she came to my mom and said, I have seen the person that I will marry. My mom almost fainted. He said, what happened to my daughter? My sister is an Efiko. It's always reading. So when she came to year one, and she came home, and she said, this is the vision that God has shown me. And she told my mom, and she told us. I said, this person I'll marry. And she left it at that. We were shocked because she's not the kind of person that thinks about man and all that. In fact, I was a bodyguard when we were growing up. I was a bodyguard. So whenever she's going out in the neighborhood, I'll follow her. Everybody used to call me Kiki because I was very thick. And they say, Kiki, I always follow her. So when those boys want to talk to her, they come to me and say, Kiki, we want to talk to your sister. I say, no, you cannot talk to her. No. So I was her protector. So so when she now left, I came back home and said, she has found someone. I said, ah. And then, you see, the stubborn consistency that with which he stayed with that vision is what surprised me the most. Even when everybody said, no, we don't think this, blah, blah, blah. But me, I didn't say that too. Me, I don't interfere in people's business. So once you say this is, you have seen vision, I'll just be leaving you alone, JJ, because I don't know what it is. I only tell you, say, are you sure? Say that I'm sure. Okay, no problem. That I'll tell you that it's wrong, I will not do it. But the stubborn consistency, even when the things looked like it was not going to happen, is amazing. And today, we look back at those days and be like, this woman told us, oh, amen. She had a choice. She could have walked away and said, no, I'm not going to do it. But she's there and it's still consistent with what she, I mean, the things that are happening now are the same things she told us when she first saw the vision. Not everything will be smooth. But in that roughness, that's when you see God. When things are smooth, people are very lazy. I'm not saying it has to be rough. People are very lazy because they get carried away with the easy things. But truth of the matter is that whether it is smooth or you think it is rough, you are supposed to be consistently working with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When the dragon fought with the woman in Revelation, and then the dragon lost, he was sent to wrath. And what did he come and do? He came to wage war. To those that will hold on to the testimony of Christ. So even if you think it is smooth, there is war in the spiritual places. But by faith we'll access grace. That victory is not, there's not going to be another war. That victory is that same victory. All you need to do is to access it by faith. And the Lord will help us. May we rise on our feet. I don't know if you're about to give up. I don't know why the Lord will have us go through this. Faith does not move God to do something. Amen. So some people say they have faith and God is going. No, God has done everything that he would do. He told Jeremiah, he said, before you were formed in the womb, and then he said, I called you as a prophet. He has done everything that we do. So if you say you have faith so that God can do this for you, no. Have your faith so that you can access that which he has done. In Ephesians chapter 1, he said he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So if you want to see that spiritual blessing, access that grace by faith. That's what we should be doing. We are no longer going to be praying for God to bless us. He says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He will give us that positive response. He will give us that grace to have that positive response to faith. And then access that which he has done. We are blessed of the Lord. We are a royal priesthood. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if you want to live in that royalty, then we need to live by faith. It says, Habakkuk 2:4 says, the just shall live by his faith and his faithfulness. His faithfulness to the cause, to the faithfulness to God. Just thank him this morning and give him praise. Thank him because he makes us to understand better the things that he has done. It makes us to understand that he has supplied all things. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he says there's nothing new under the sun. Chapter 1 verse 9, he says the thing that has been, it is what will be again, and that which has been done is that which will be done again. That which has been done. The work is completed. Hallelujah. And these things are available, but we need to access it. And Romans 5:1-2 says you access that grace by faith, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for their seeds that will grow and their seeds that will bear fruit. And thank you because we work on it, Lord, accessing and having a positive response to your word at all times. We give you all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name.